Welcome to Marxist Petite Clover. I am your host, Angles Next Door, and with me is Eric Hobbs Bond.
Hello, hello.
And we are talking about Krychik.
Yes, yes, the only band named after a 1990s Dutch tennis player.
Yes. So we have discovered some things since our last recording, and I'll take all the blame. We did not know about MyGo's existence. We didn't know that. Okay, we may have seen MyGo in terms of, we knew that there was another Bang Dream show. I knew there was other Bang Dream shows. We're located in the United States, and I think almost all the Bang Dream shows that I knew existed were on HI Dive. Turns out they're not all on HI Dive anymore, only the third season. I didn't know that Krychik had their own anime.
So these characters were already introduced.
They were!
Like, we assumed the other Bang Dream shows were just, like, complete different sets of characters.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I don't know much about Love Live, but I feel like that's how Love Live works.
Yeah.
So I kind of assumed it was like that.
No, I did not know that the whole Krychik, which still sounds like a cryptocurrency band, and a Dutch tennis player from the 90s, Pete Sampras at Wimbledon. Yeah, so apologies to our fans that will have gotten to this point of the podcast to be like, it took them 7 episodes.
What's up these idiots who are watching a sequel and complaining about how everything is just dropped so suddenly? Well, not complaining. We allow how everything's being dropped on us suddenly. But
Who are these people? Like for the first time, like we met Tomori. I thought Tomori was just the purple hair girl, and then Hobspawn had to correct me.
Yes, because Tomori is hashtag not my purple haired girl.
She's not a Morris.
Best girl who doesn't show up in this episode.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem like the progression that we're going to get less and less of Ave Mojica, which is actually the show we're watching right now. I was hoping that the next episode we only get like 2 characters, but because like this episode we only got 3 characters, because in the episode before this we only got 4 characters from Ave Mojica, because the blonde haired girl did not show up at all in the last episode.
Yeah, or this one. And you know she's like probably like close to an emotional breakdown right now.
She is. That is true.
Yeah, well, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
And she's probably going to come back with a vengeance. We don't know. We're not pro-Yandere, but she may go through a Yandere phase and be like...
I mean, once you're pouring out a second cup of coffee for your lover who's not there anymore, you're already halfway there.
Well, little does she know. I don't know if we coined it this last episode, but almost everyone in the show was Saki sexual, or everybody just is attracted to the keyboard girl, it seems like.
Like, the show could just be called Saki Sexuality.
It is. Because Mutsumi is Saki Sexual. Mortis might be the only character that we know of that isn't Saki Sexual at this point.
And Amorvis, maybe?
Amorvis could be Saki Sexual.
We don't know yet, I guess.
I mean, in the episode where I thought Tomori and Amorvis were the same character, I totally thought Amorvis was also sexual. Okay, so... This was the episode where I don't know how much more we'll see of Krychik, so this is kind of a Krychik farewell episode, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll get to that.
This also the episode that ended mental health.
We solved it, guys. It's done.
It's done. Nothing needs to be done anymore. Everybody's cured. All it just takes is hugging, talking it out.
And talking between... through the bars of a fence, like you're in jail.
I'd say it's a gate, but I think a fence is the better prison metaphor. To be fair, Mutsumi was in the prison of her own mind.
Whoa.
And her jailer was Mortis.
Which is itself, it's like one of my favorite Murakami quotes, where I can't remember the first part of it. It goes something like jealousy. But the reason why jealousy is so bad, it's a prison that the victim makes them... It's a prison that the self makes for themselves and then throws away the keys.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a great...
I mean, this show did kind of make us think this could be Murakami. This could be magical realism. I mean, it's not, but it could be.
Before we knew about My Go, I totally thought that Anachromia Girl was not a real character. She had very Murakami girl energy that's just like snarky and kind of sees the metaphysical and it's going to disappear. Then we're going to have to go on a like adventure to find her.
We still don't know for sure. I mean, we haven't watched My Go, so maybe she dies and she's like a ghost. I don't know. Maybe she's a metaphysical being in My Go.
Maybe she's a My Go physical being. But once again, I want to highlight, I really love the characters of this show. Even the dorks from Cry Chick have been excellent. Soyo, you are a legend. You taught me that all you need to do to fix anybody is to kidnap them and force them to confront their problems. Even it involves physically assaulting them and forcing them to go visit their best friend.
Yeah, try this at home, kids.
So yeah, and with that, that's actually where we're going to kind of start today, is talking about the beginning of this episode. We see Soyu and Sakiko, Oblivioness, interact with each other, where Soyu's like, it's time. You need to go visit Mutsumi. And Sakiko has nothing of it. And you want to talk about the background music?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I think you described it really well, where
it was like a wall of sound.
Yeah, it's not just the suspenseful wall of sound. There's also this piano bit that's like separate from it.
Yeah, it feels very unhinged, very uncontrolled and strange and out there. Very unsettling. I related to the lavender sound. It's the lavender sound theme from Pokemon Red and Blue. Kind of reminded me of that. So we go to Mutsumi and we have our first interaction between Sakiko and Mutsumi in like three episodes.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be three episodes. Count it, like, I guess it was two episodes ago from this episode. So yeah, it's three episodes.
Because like when the band breaking up episode, did she ever talk to Mutsumi in that episode? Because it was Mortis that whole time.
Oh yeah, so it might be four episodes. Are you saying that Mortis is not Mutsumi? I mean, that's what the show is trying to tell us, so...
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, she technically hasn't then. I mean, Mutsumi has wanted to talk to her for a while.
Yeah, but Mortis is like, no, she's going to hurt you, like she always does. And she freaks out on Soyo and Sakiko when they visit. Oh, yeah, visit.
If Heterochromia Girl would have been there, I think she would have been fine. She's like, oh my god, best girl of the show is here, so I gotta listen.
Mortis is such a big fan.
From what we understand.
Mortis is simping hard for the Heterochromia. So Sakiko breaks down and cries.
She does.
In front of most of Krychuk. And
Has this happened before or after she's waiting outside?
This happens before. This happens right after Mortis throws stuff at them.
Yeah, Mortis in her room of deranged, I'm not in a healthy mental state. But as we've talked about, that her parents do not care about her because she's rich. And I am still very baffled by these parents' lack of understanding. I know it's for the plot of the show, but I had to get my two cents in for this.
Yeah, this is getting neglectful.
It's getting very neglectful. But she's fine now. We haven't got to that she's fine. She's been cured.
Yeah. So part of the cure is Sakiko camping outside day and night.
Like that Maroon 5, she's waiting in the pouring rain. But it's unlike She Will Be Loved, she's there for Mutsumi because she will be loved.
Or it's like the Kimagure Orange Road. I want to go back to that day movie.
Oh, it is. Yes. Excellent film about breaking up. This is the opposite of breaking up.
I was curious about the logistics.
Oh, okay.
Like, does she have a rich family, like, send her food in a limo? Where does she go to the bathroom?
I mean, Sakiko feels like it doesn't feel like she eats a lot. So she might be just... Also, maybe she's only waiting out there for, like, those brief seconds that we actually see her in the montage. So maybe it's only waiting for, like, a short amount of time each time. Those are just different days. Also, I do like that the maid listens to the psych... Like, the person that's having a mental breakout. I guess she's a good maid. I have to listen to my boss.
And you also want to respect your boss's privacy when they're a minor.
True.
Well, so Sakiko's endeavors do pay off eventually?
Yeah.
Because Mortis... Well, Mutsumi kind of forces herself to the gate and kind of takes over from Mortis for like a few seconds at a time. And Mutsumi and Sakiko hold hands across the gate.
So dumb.
While Mortis struggles to finally regain control and like...
Like slaps her away.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like one of the funniest scenes of this whole show thus far. It's beautiful, but really silly.
We love the melodrama, but, you know, it is melodrama. What happens after that?
That's when eventually, like, we cut to, like, Cry Chick and they're talking, and eventually, like, Taki, the brown hair girl, like, okay, the dark brown girl from Cry Chick, and I think Soyo show up.
Yeah, the dark brown girl from Cry Chick. I have been struggling for what to call her, because until this episode, we only saw her with her school uniform and her sexual tension with the no jacket required girl.
There was a hot minute in this episode where I thought they were related.
Yes. You had me worried for a second that, you know, they weren't fucking and they were actually related. But no, good news, they're probably fucking. But then, in this episode, the Cry Chick, dark-haired girl, she wears a white jacket that's like no jacket required, but white. Which, first of all, I like the yin and yang, white and black thing going on. And yeah, so I think she should be called the white jacket required.
No. No? That sounds really stupid. No.
White jacket required.
No. White jacket sounds strange. Well, you could just call her jacket required.
Fine. That's good. Yeah.
Okay, so they end up going and waiting outside. They're like, Saki, what are you doing? And then eventually, like, because other two girls are there, the housekeeper lets all three of them in?
Yeah! I mean, the housekeeper was willing to let Sakiko in and, like, wait in the lobby or something on the living room.
Oh,
but
she
Sakiko
was.
Refused, but this time the other girls kind of pulled her by the hand, you know, kidnapping number two.
Well, because Sakiko is a student of Marcus Aurelius in Stoicism, and...
Well, she did a bad job of that in this episode.
Well, she stood outside in the pouring rain for a day. Maybe like 5 minutes. And eventually it broke Mortis down. I mean, Mortis broke a mirror. Like, I think breaking mirrors is like, you're not in a safe space if you're breaking mirrors.
I mean, when I was a kid, I was terrified of the 7 years bad luck thing.
Uh-huh.
I was so scared about that. Like, what if I break this mirror and then I'll have 7 years of bad luck?
See, I was freaked out by, if you step on a crack, you break your mother's back.
Okay, that's fucked up.
Isn't it strange?
If you step on a crack, your mom will be paralyzed.
Yeah. Also, is this just like an anti, like, public-private thing where it's like, we should be better about fixing our sidewalks? And like, why are our sidewalks so bad? Like, I don't know. It's very hard to avoid, like, sidewalks, especially where we lived at one time. Like, winter does bad stuff to sidewalks.
Oh, yeah. It's even with a well-maintained sidewalk up in this neck of the woods, it's bound to crack in some places.
Yeah. It's weird how superstitions at times are about how you'll make your parents suffer. I guess it's a good motivation when you're young.
Yeah, it's one of the few things you genuinely care about deeply. And yeah, so everybody fund walkable cities so that your parents don't get paralyzed.
And if they do, they at least live in a walkable city.
That is true. That's accessible for people on wheelchairs.
Yeah. Back to walkable cities. So we have the Mutsumi, we have the hug intervention, and the hug saves the day. All you gotta do to fix your problems and mental health is to talk to your friends about what's bothering you, and then hug them and make up. I know on the surface that actually is really good advice. But Mutsumi has more problems than just hugging and talking about her
problems.
Yeah,
some cognitive behavioral therapy is probably a good addition to...
Oh, And obliviousnessness has a lot of issues, and I feel the show is kind of glossing over her problems.
Everyone in the show needs to go to therapy. It'd be great. But no, we can't really have a show where everyone just goes to therapy, because then it'll just be a show about therapy.
That's true.
So instead, we just hug it out. And yeah. I'm assuming Mortis is still in there. So unless Mortis is literally Mortis.
We don't believe in betting, so we're not going to bring up betting. But if we were to bet, it would be a fun bet to see who would win. Who is Mortis coming back? Or is she not coming back?
I mean, we know so little about betting. I don't even know how the odds numbers even work.
I don't know how the odds numbers work. It's like, when you're in the betting sphere, I don't know, like, the way that... This is a whole other conversation. Like, where people bet on really weird things because of high probability to get bets in games, where it's not about betting on the outcome. It's like betting who will sing the Super Bowl. I think that was something that was like a thing where you bet on who could... Oh, no, there was a bet on who would appear in the Kendrick Lamar performance. Like, you could bet and see if, like, would Drake appear? You could bet if Drake would appear with Kendrick. Like, it's just dumb. Betting's weird. Betting's evil. I do enjoy slot machines. They are fun. They are a waste of your money, though. Like, they are colorful and stuff. It's kind of beautiful, slot machine.
Yeah, the human psychology gaming system games human psychology.
I'm happy that human psychology studied to learn how to manipulate us more. It's the best part of life.
It's my favorite part about living in the 21st century.
Yeah, capitalism, baby. I mean, to be fair, this whole show, that's basically... When we finish up the show, probably have to talk about... This was a show, that's whole premise was, girl in trouble. Here is the plot. Girls under capitalism. Exploitation. I'm going to workshop this more.
But they are rich girls.
They are rich girls. Okay, some of them are rich. All of them feel like they're rich.
Their artistic projects are, like, subsidized by the rich members.
Yeah.
So, if they were Bocchi to rocking this, like, none of these people would be getting gigs.
Oh, I don't know if you heard the rumor, but I saw something today about Bocchi the Rock Season 2, which is announced, which we're very excited on. It doesn't sound like the director is returning.
That's very worrying.
Sounds like he's staying with Free Ren instead.
I mean, it is my favorite show of the 2020s, and so I desperately want Season 2 to be just as good, and direction's a big part of what makes it good, so, well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's plenty of other great people who work on that.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
So what happens? Do they go back to the band practice, right?
Well, because Heterochromia Girl, I know her name is Rana, but I like calling her Heterochromia Girl. It's more fun to me.
She's not Rana. She's German. It's Camphor.
This is not the right group of people to mix Camphor in this show. I mean, Camphor... No. No, so yeah, they go... And they're like, we should perform a song. This is where, like, us not knowing about Maigo is really funny. I'm like, this girl can write lyrics? Like, this is a failed band. The keyboardist isn't in the band. So, do they even exist as a group anymore? It's like, oh, yeah, I wrote some lyrics down. I changed them a little bit. I'm like, yeah, it's probably Kasaki Ko wrote the lyrics.
Well, no, she changed them because she saw Sakiko crying. And lamenting that she wanted to be human again. And that was the inspiration for the lyrics, the new lyrics.
So we kind of alluded to this, but this complex fascinates me. Like, a lot of great anime, secretly, the architecture of buildings is very fascinating. Because, like, I just want to explore some of these people's homes. I still want to explore the apartment from Chainsaw Man of Eye Patch Woman. Want to explore that apartment. That was a very nice apartment.
That was the best apartment I've ever seen.
But this, like, complex, like a coffee shop, practice space with its own venue, which is kind of wacky. So they perform this song in the venue. Once again, it goes back to our subsidizing. Somebody subsidizing this group. I just cannot imagine how much, like, booking and that they're reserving their own space. Being like, hey, I don't know. Can we, like, just go perform in the... In the venue, I don't know, it would be really cool if you let us. And they're like, yeah, sure, that's fine. It's not like that space should always be commodified. Capitalism makes me think, how is this place wasting money? And how should it be making more money?
Yeah, it has to be, like, owned by the families of one of the members.
Because they go there all the time. Didn't it seem like at one point, like, if this is where they're always having coffee, didn't it look like Jacket Require Taki was working at, like, one of the cafes in one of the episodes?
I don't remember that. Huh.
Yeah, it looks like Taki may have been working at it. See, these are, like, weird observations that we're seeing. So, we have the performance. What did you think of the performance?
It was interesting, because the singing wasn't, like, professional singing. And I think that was very much on purpose.
To be fair, like, I found out from the anime Reddit talking about this that, like, they had performed this song on, like, First Take. And part of me still doesn't believe that they're the same song at all. Like, hearing the First Take of this song, supposedly, and this song, like, I don't think they're the same song. They apparently are, but I'm still kind of confused by that. But yeah, no, the singing is interesting. Like, it sounds like she's singing when she is crying.
Yeah.
To bring up to Les Mis, it's like in I Dreamed a Dream when Anne Hathaway is crying while singing, so it doesn't sound as good. And it's weird because, like, I watched a YouTube video that complained about, I don't like that she's actually singing because it ruins the song, because the song doesn't come out as good, because singing, like crying, restricts your vocals and makes your vocal cords be filled up with mucus and stuff.
Yes, people. Acting is a choice between singing and acting.
I am of the opinion that I too agree. Like, the original Broadway, without all the weird things that they're trying to impose during Les Mis, is better. Me and Hausbahn have different feelings on this. Performance was good. I liked it. I think it was very emotional. It was kind of beautiful.
Yeah, everybody's crying at the end. Yeah, so in this performance, though, Mutsumi and Sakiko are playing. So it's like the old cry check. It's not their current band, My Go.
I also don't know if in My Go, does cry check exist in My Go as well? Because now my brain is broken. And we are not going to watch My Go to know. We're not going to look up any information about My Go after this until we finish with Ave Mojica. This is like when I accidentally watched the second season of an anime called The Horizon in the Middle of Nowhere and was very confused by it.
Yeah, we want to get the full Ave Mojica headfirst experience before we go to My Go. So the two people on My Go that replaced Sakiko and Mutsumi in the original cry check, they're just now sitting off to the side. So now I'm like, what's happening? Is cry check back and those two are getting kicked out? Or is My Go back and this is just a one-time performance and they won't perform again?
You know, it's weird, though. Like, the only person that really wasn't in the flashbacks was Heterochromia Girl. But it seemed like Pink Hair Girl, the Togawa Girl, was in original Cry Check as well.
Oh.
Or I might be wrong by that. Like I said,
also, maybe they had two guitars, and since Mutsumi obviously didn't bring her guitar along,
she
just lent it to Mutsumi to play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it sounds like they're going to get a second bassist.
They are?
Aren't they? Didn't No Jacket Required show up at the end of the performance and saying, I want to join too?
Well, no, she wants to reunite, like Ave Mojica.
I don't know if it was clear to me, because
when I rewatched it before we started this, like, no, it looks like you had a nice reunion. Oh, I want a different reunion. She's like, reunion, that's great. How about reuniting with me as well? So yeah, I think she's talking about Ave Mojica.
Well, she could be saying reuniting with me at Krychek.
I from like the episode preview, it looks like the whole like Ave Mojica is coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I'm still not convinced, but I didn't really take a good look at the preview.
I'm pretty convinced. I am pretty convinced because like she's like, how about reuniting with me as well? Like, when reuniting with her, it's like reuniting with the thing they formerly had. I don't think she's talking about reuniting with like that band because she wasn't part of that band.
Yeah, but reuniting with Sakiko.
Yeah, and Mutsumi.
Yeah. So it would still be a reunion of sorts. Say if she had gone to Krychek, it would be a reunion of those three.
Well, she was there for her girlfriend.
Yeah, and maybe that's the best argument to just start Ave Mojica separately because I don't know, fucking between band members. Wait, can I say fucking? Banging between band members.
You already said it earlier as well.
Oh, okay. I should have said bang going between band members. Yeah, feel like bang going between band members is risky. I mean, I was going to say you could get an ABBA situation.
Or but... a Fleetwood Mac, because that's more famous. They're more famous for their breakup album.
I don't know much about Fleetwood Mac, but I know my ABBA. Yeah, so you don't want to be bang-going band members. I get that.
Yeah, so are you saying that you also thought that they were going to make a new band of just the three of them?
No, I thought they were just going to have a multi-instrumental orchestra.
No, I've rarely ever seen two basses. That would just be too crazy.
That would be pretty hard to fit in. But hey, you could kick out Soyo.
I mean, basically, as I referenced a few episodes ago, this could just be the Yes Union album where the late 80s spin-off Yes band of more of the original band members combined with the actual Yes band that doesn't have as many original members to create the Union album. So maybe that's what you're predicting, that all of the Ave Mojica members are going to join Cry Chick to make a supergroup.
I like it.
I don't think it's going to happen at all, but...
But because the problem is with everyone being Saki sexual.
Yeah.
Both bands want her. Like, there's only one keyboardist between the two bands. So, I mean, how's that going to work?
Yeah, I don't know. So I think apparently that song they played usually just, the piano part is usually guitar. The more information I learned from Reddit. I don't know if it's true. It's probably true. We didn't even know that Maiko was a part of this. We didn't know there was a whole show about Cry Chick. It still really bothers me. We didn't do the due diligence. We're bad at researching.
Well, the idea of these petty clovers is a reaction to the show we're watching.
That's true.
This is why it's the petite clover, because we're not trying to get a bigger picture. This is more quick reactions and also to get all, 1970s French theory. I mean, This is the text. We're just going to read the text. All the other shows, we don't need to analyze. We analyze them because we're analyzing explicitly this text.
And this text has taught me mental health is solved by hugs. And
That's all we need?
You don't need medication. Medication is bad.
Yep, no medication, no therapy with a trained professional. Just good old-fashioned crying together and hugging it out.
Yeah, hugging is good.
Hugging is good.
Yeah, if you do have problems with your friends, talk to your friends about your problems. Unless it's, very specific issues.
Yeah, because I understand Mortis's perspective, where you shouldn't talk to your friends if your friend is actually, a super dangerous person who's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And that's what Mortis thinks Sakiko is.
Well, I think it also is, existential threat to your mental health. And that's just more for hurting, because, hurting, I don't want to be construed that we're saying, she's in physical harm. It's more like mental harm.
Physical
harm. Even though I wouldn't be surprised. Saki is a loose cannon, really. She is very damaged and also needs a lot of help. We've said that repeatedly through this show. Creating a band that is a high concept doll rock band is really weird when you're a rich girl that could go to therapy.
You know, it's like that meme that men would rather do this than go to therapy.
Uh-huh. This is like... this meme, thankfully. That's awful. Okay.
Well, it's...
I get it, but keep going.
It's usually made from a feminist perspective.
Oh, good.
But yeah, this is like Bang Dream Girls would rather just start a band and wait outside their friend's house for days on end than go to therapy.
And smash mirrors and then slightly destroy every stuffed animal in your room. And there's probably mold in her room. I want to believe that there's moldy food in the room as well.
I mean, based on personal experience, yeah, that's probably what's happening. Well, she does have a maid, which does probably help during depression. Someone who can clean the dishes, clean the room somewhat, get the food out of there.
I think she just got the food out of there. I don't think she did much else.
Yeah, I mean, This is a show about people who are very damaged and have very big problems, but also so well off that some of these problems would be so much worse if they weren't well off.
Yeah, I still think, like, hopefully now, like, maybe the Mutsumi arc is over, that I still am really interested in the other three characters. Like, this blonde girl, Dolores, weirds me out. Like, it is weird how her and No Jacket Required have gotten very little development, especially when, like, a singer of a group is usually, like, the focal point of a group. It is weird. Like, it's like how like, Krychek was handled. Like, Tomori, still at the end of the day, is the beating heart of Krychek, it seems like. Because she is the singer.
Even though you would think Dolores would fit that mold better because she's the super attractive model who is the face of the band, and yet...
Yeah.
No, she's just stuck in her loft, sipping coffee.
Simping coffee, you know?
And No Jacket Required? There is a theory that she's the only person who actually enjoyed being in Ave Mujica.
That was our theory. I still think that. I think that it actually is a great theory. I love that theory so much.
Because A, she's the one asking for this reunion, if you're saying Ave Mujica is coming back.
And if you go to the Bang Dream website, who is the only person that looks like she has, like, a genuine happy smile?
Wilda in their Ave Mujica phase.
Yeah, No Jacket Required mode. She looks indifferent. But then, like, she has, like, a very nice smile. Like, she smiles with her eyes.
Yes, she does.
Okay. She looks like she has a genuine smile, because I think the smiling with her eyes could maybe be taken as very sexist, because that's something that men say a lot to women.
Really?
Yeah. And this is also a problem with people with depression, actually. It's like when people say, you don't look happy. And then it's like, you're not smiling with your eyes. Because, like, that doesn't mean anything. What does that even mean?
Right. Well, like, if someone is genuinely happy.
Yeah.
Like, smiling with your eyes is a useful phrase, I feel. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, this person can express their happiness very subtly. And that's kind of interesting of a feature. But I can see if it's like the bitch smile for me thing that. Yeah, our society does.
Yeah. Are you excited for what's going to come next?
Yeah.
I hope they come back together so they break up again.
I hope they bring the masks back.
Like, what if they were Kraftwerk and they decided to act like robots, or they tried to have very particular movements when they played live on stage?
I mean, they did the doll thing already. Isn't that
doll thing. Yeah, but they didn't act. They just sat inert. They didn't.
That's
like,
how dolls act.
They didn't.
That
like,
is moving like a doll. In that they don't.
That's
move.
Not true. That's not true. In Toy Story, they move. They have you seen Toy Story?
Of course.
Okay, good.
I did watch Toy Story 2 first, so I always enjoyed it more. Yeah, and I do feel bad for Toy Story that. I kind of looked down on it a bit because I watched Toy Story 2 first.
I've seen Toy Story 2 more, so I actually kind of agree with you on this. I think Toy Story 2 is more interesting. That prospector guy is a jerk.
Oh, yeah, and they were going to go to Japan, you know?
Yeah, I'm of the belief that Toy Story 3 did not hit for me very much. I think it's a good movie. I think I've only seen it once, but it didn't hit for me. Toy Story 4, I think, was just it's just another Toy Story movie.
I so haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, like, been sharing me that Toy Story meme with Dolores and Sakiko, and it's been updated now to...
I have?
Yeah, the meme of Andy throwing away, I don't want to play with you.
Oh, okay, yeah. I love that meme.
Because you shared this meme earlier, but I don't think Sayo was in that, in the one that you shared a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's so many of these characters that were like, oh yeah, they didn't. So weird in our previous versions, like, yeah, who are these people? Why is there fan art of these people already? Like, they're nobodies.
I mean, some of my favorite fan art that I bookmarked like months ago turns out to be from the show. Or from Bango.
Yeah. No, this is a wonderful show. The sky is the limit. Anything could happen.
Anything, it's magical realism. For all we know, Sakiko could float up to the sky like on Reduce of Solitude.
That would be funny. So the 100 Year Solitude Netflix adaptation is really good. If people haven't seen it, go watch it. It's not an anime, but it's very good. I really liked it. Excited for season two. It's excellent.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for more Dolores and Amoris. Maybe we'll learn backstory. Maybe we'll learn that, like, Dolores, like, punched somebody in the past when they went to the same school. And it's like, you're my special person. And then, like, Sakko's like, I don't even know who you are.
Oh, 22/7. What a great yeah, show. If you haven't watched 22/7 and you like Avi Mujica, I mean...
We might do a version of this for 22/7 when we rewatch it.
I guess, but then that's also the extended 22/7 universe.
Yeah, I guess... Yeah, we'll figure out how to talk about that. But yeah, this has been your co-host, Angles Next Door, and your other co-host...
Eric Hobbs Bond.
May we cry chick together and hug.
Let's end mental illness.
Let's end mental illness by crying and hugging. Rock on.
おい、工藤。